especially in wintertime as they pay for the heat bills, especially Christmas. The question is, how do you plan to address the high unemployment rate in this city? And Eddie, it's your turn to begin.
One of the foci of my campaign has been focusing on small business. The current administration has a view that we need to bring in a lot of money from outside and build big things, and that's going to solve unemployment problems. And I don't think that's a completely bad idea. But I do believe that we are going to solve our unemployment problem one job at a time. And that includes streamlining the way that small business deals with the city, making it more user-friendly. I had an experience a couple weeks ago. I needed a building permit. And I was given two windows of opportunity when the inspectors could all show up. And I said, that business owner that wants to rent me the space has people there from 11 to 2 and 5 until 6, or till 8 at night. And he shouldn't have to pay someone to be there when the inspectors are there. He shouldn't have to be there. And the city's sense was, well, he should accommodate the city so they can go do the inspection. I disagree with that. I think the city should bend over, not quite completely backwards, but bend over a little bit backwards to be accommodating to our businesses. Because they're the lifeblood of this community. I came up with a concept which I'm calling the peripheral enterprise zone, which we've already decided that we can assess TIF districts differently from the rest of the city in order to get tax benefits to business. I came up with the concept, well, why not create a zone around the TIF that will have some incentives for the people who already have businesses there. Let's say if you want to expand your business or build your business or hire another employee, we'll freeze your assessments for 5 years. It's something that we can talk about. And I've already elevated this to the state level. I've talked to cabinet level people. They like this idea. Just one of the ideas I've come up with, and I don't have a PhD in urban planning. Thank you.
The question is, how are we going to reach out? So that was a question.
You guys are always welcome to ask me to repeat the question. Never a problem. The question is, how do you plan to address the high unemployment rate in the city?
The best way we can address the high unemployment rate in the receiving city at this point is to look at the jobs that are already here. Not about these jobs. There are plenty of jobs here, as I have talked with various business owners and CEOs here in the city. There are jobs already here. The problem is that we have to begin to partner with and facilitate conversation with Unified, Carthage, Parkside, Gateway, and also with the business community to find out what's actually needed and necessary to be able to help the unemployment rate go down. I believe a major part of the problem is we have to have people who are actually ready and qualified to be able to not just get a job, but also keep a job. We call those soft skills. I believe that we have to begin to, I believe from the mayor's seat, we have to begin to facilitate that conversation. And to know that at the end of the day, if we can facilitate, if we can bring everybody to the table, at that point, dealing with the educational issues and dealing with the soft skills and dealing with the family issues. As a government, we can't tell a family what to do, but we can facilitate conversation to be able to help to bring up the level of education in our city. That's what's going to actually begin to help our unemployment situation.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Pastor Hargrove, for starting my answer. I strongly believe that there is a very good place for the educational institutions in this community to help with this, because I'm not a believer in the trickle-down concept. I believe that we have to start from the bottom up. There are lots of people who sit in this town, in this city, and don't have the ability to get a job because they don't have the skills that they need to get the kind of jobs that are here already. And then the kind of jobs that might be brought by groups that say that they're developers are another issue. We don't necessarily have the skills for those positions either. Those are very important things. So skills is a top factor. A second factor is that we need to negotiate into our contracts that we will use Racine businesses and Racine citizens as employees in those types of places where the development would occur.
Let me pick up where Jenna's left off. It's called the Racine First Program. We actually have it, and it's going into the Machinery Road development, called Project Labor Agreement. And we have that. But what we did in Racine was we decided to look at the whole picture. So Launchbox was created in tandem with Gateway University and ourselves to build the incubators from the ground up. It's working, it's gotten so big, it's actually outgrown its space in the first year. Incubators and accelerators are what not only attracts young people, but allows new businesses to grow. The second thing I've done is exactly what they've described. I've toured now 72 companies in Racine, from the boardroom all the way down to the machine shop and out the back door, to talk to all these people to find out what their needs are. We've helped 15 of those local companies grow. Now, that may only be 10 or 20 jobs at a time, but those 10 or 20 jobs are pretty important to people. The next thing that we're doing is we're working with our larger businesses, introducing them to groups like the Wisconsin Procurement Institute. Why? So that we can help them grow internally and externally. There's a lot more we have to talk about with this, but the fact is, it's working. We just have to keep it going.